And his areas of research are esoteric yoga and Sanskrit poetry and aesthetics.
Thanks. Well, thank you for coming, and thanks for organizing this very exciting conference, which I've learned a lot already. I feel maybe I should begin with a slight apologia. This is a Hatha Yoga project in origin, though, and I'm not talking about Hatha Yoga actually at all. So I opened the Brill Encyclopedia of Hinduism and typed in yoga, and this is greatly amusing to me always. You get four entries: Patanjali Yoga, Raja Yoga, Hatha Yoga, and Modern Yoga. And of course, Raja Yoga is basically Patanjali Yoga. So the kind of yoga I'm working on is not represented at all. It's kind of an oddity, I feel, because it implies a kind of continuity that really isn't of the kind one thinks. There's not Patanjali Yoga, then a gap of 800 years, and suddenly Hatha Yoga appears. And all that was written in the meantime are a few commentaries on Patanjali. That would be indeed a very remarkable continuity if that were true. But of course, there are many other systems of yoga in between. This doesn't seem to be fully working. And the kinds of yoga I want to talk about are the Shaiva ones. We've heard already quite a lot about them. The Shaiva tantric yogas. We heard also of Pashupata yoga. And that was my motivating factor in trying to talk about or work on the yoga Yajnavalkya at all. And my question was really, where does it fit in? Since one can't just read Shaiva yoga texts on their own, just read one text over and over again, it won't make sense without any kind of connection to other texts. So my questions were intertextuality, how does it react to other texts, how do other texts react to it, and where does it come from, etc. So the Yoga Yajnavalkya is a slightly problematic text. There was an early kind of dispute about two published versions, one should say recensions, or even different texts, in fact. One was published by Divanji, and the other one was published by the Lonavala people. And there is a dispute which is the original early one, basically. Yajnavalkya himself mentions he wrote a yoga text, so there is an ancient precedent. It seems to me quite clear we've lost that early text. That is not what we have in any of these two, I don't believe. So it's a valid question maybe for people to ask, which of these is the earlier one? And we have two of these texts, and one of them is quite clearly earlier, and one of them is quite obviously later. Yet there was a dispute for quite a long time, and this dispute was quite bitter, surprisingly. As you can see, some of the titles I've put up there, if you'll maybe look at the... Is it too small? Uh-huh. Yeah, anyway, it's Kuvalayananda and Kenge and Garote who are kind of defending the original one, I feel. For the text, you have it on the Google Drive also.
It's on the Google Drive.
The text we will read.
Did you know? If you took it off, perhaps you could drop it in again.
The what, sorry?
The text?
It doesn't seem to be on
there. Email it to me and I'll...
I sent it to Jim.
This one.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that's there.
That's there, yeah.
So
that we'll read the text shortly. This is just an introduction. Well, we'll come to it in a few minutes only. Maybe by then it'll be up.
Jim, maybe email it to me.
So this dispute centers on, as you can see, the bottom one, the question, the real one, that title. That's really what it's about. Which of these two texts is the real Yoga Yajnavalkya in their mind? To me, this is a fairly meaningless question. One is earlier, one is later. That's really all there is to it. One is clearly a South Indian work, maybe 1300. The other one is more difficult to date, but much, much earlier. and maybe from northeastern India, maybe even from Mithila. It's possible, not impossible.
When you say one and the other,
yeah.
which one?
The Yoga Yajnavalkya, one of them has been published as the Brihad Yogi Yajnavalkya, and that is the earlier one. The one published under the name Yoga Yajnavalkya, I would rather call the pseudo Yoga Yajnavalkya. It is a later work, which knows only the title, and is kind of a modern Hatha Yoga manual teaching Kundalini and all kinds of stuff. Whereas this other work, the Yoga Yajnavalkya, is something quite different in essence. It is an attempt to write a yogic Vedic tradition, to produce such a thing maybe, which may have been a rival to other systems. Okay, so we have these two texts, the Yoga Yajnavalkya and the Brihad Yogi Yajnavalkya. And the function of this older one is also not immediately clear to me. What actually is it? But I can say maybe that it was probably the same as the later work. The later, maybe pseudo Yoga Yajnavalkya, was clearly, I think, an attempt to absorb lots of tantric, hatha yoga, and other non-Vedic material into a Vedic framework that Brahmins can read and accept. And this was done somewhere in South India, probably around 1300, it seems. Even the frame story, everything is completely different. It's Gargi and Yajnavalkya, it's completely different. The older one is just a bunch of sages and Yajnavalkya talking. So everything is completely different. So what this is not so clear to me. Is it legitimization or is it an attempt to borrow? I think a lot more work is needed. And so more justification is needed because there is this early citation in Vachaspati Mishra from the Tattva Vaisharadi. He says something odd. He states, Nanu Hiranyagarbho Yogasya Vakta Na Anyah Puratanaha. Hiranyagarbha was the promulgator of yoga, not some other ancient sage. Iti yoga yogi yajnavalkya smritehi, so because of this smriti, katam patanjaleir yoga shastra kartritvam iti ashankya. How could Patanjali be attributed, could be credited with being the founder of yoga? Iti ashankya, with this doubt in mind, he says, sutrakarena anushasanam ityuktam. So anushasana means shishtasya shasanam, teaching what has already been taught or those who are learned. Shishta could be taken two ways. So here is a slight problem with this. He attributes this passage to Yogi Yajnavalkya, but actually it's in the Mahabharata, in the Moksha Dharma section. Yeah, but he doesn't say so. And we'll read this passage. It is embedded in a whole section of verses from the Moksha Dharma, included in the Yoga Yajnavalkya. And it is a little bit odd that Vachaspati should refer to the Yogi Yajnavalkya, not to Mahabharata as source. And because of this, many people later on do, many authors, particularly in the Vedantic tradition, dozens I found now, quote these passages and have slightly different takes on them. And also, most of them actually attribute them to Yoga Yajnavalkya and not to Mahabharata, though some of them, of course, know it and do say so. Still, it's a little bit odd. So then the question is, it's been published, why am I doing this all over again? Because of the dispute about the date of the text and which one is earlier, and Jivanji claiming it's much, much later, and I don't know, very, very late indeed. And there is this discovery that happened recently of the Nepalese manuscript, which is dated to 1024. So clearly shows us this is a very early text. This is the early one. The so-called Brihad Yogi Yajnavalkya is the early one. And I don't think one should call it the Brihad Yogi Yajnavalkya, because the colophons simply call it Yoga Yajnavalkya. There's no reason to give it that strange name. There are not many manuscripts of it. The edition used only two. For the other South Indian recension, there are maybe 30 or 40, I think, at least, that I know of. So that was a very popular and influential text. It was also very influential because Krishnamacharya, founder of modern, I don't know, some modern yoga schools, promoted it. He thought it was a worthwhile text. So that has made it very popular. So the colophon there you can see, Nepal Samvat 144. There's no question that this is an authentic date, I feel. So where does this fit in? If we just maybe take a step back and try and figure out what people usually talk about when they talk about yoga, we have early material in the Moksha Dharma, which anyone can try and date, 2nd century to 4th century, usually given names as Adhyatmas, Rahasyas, and various kind of secret teachings. And these are kind of short little yoga practices often. We've actually in Kyoto had fun reading the Varshneya Adhyatma recently, which is kind of a Vaishnava yoga passage somehow. Then there are these mythical figures in the Sankhya school, Kapila, Asuri, Patanjali, the Sankhya teacher, not the yoga teacher, Panchashika, and then the two famous historical figures, Varshaganya and Vindhyavasin. Some of these, Vindhyavasin is probably contemporaneous with the Yogacara Bhumi and some of those traditions. And there is clear influence, I think. Schmidhausen has pointed out a number of things, the development of the buddhi and the ahankara and the klishtam manas of the Yogacharas. There's a clear connection, though which way he hasn't said, which I wish he would. And on the yoga school at that period, we have again a mythical figure, Hiranyagarbha, who may have existed or may not. We don't really know. The Yoga Yajnavalkya will put him on a par with mythical figures such as Pashupati and Narayana and Sanat Kumara and so on. It has a system of 7 Siddhantas of yoga, 7 settled or determined schools of yoga, and he is one of them. Then we come in the yoga tradition to Patanjali, who we heard a lot about today, maybe around 400, so roughly contemporary or a little bit later than Vasubandhu. And then Ishvara Krishna is more difficult to date, people disagree. And then we have the Yukti Deepika, maybe the most important commentary. Then maybe in the yoga school we only have commentaries, Vachaspati is very important, of course, much quoted. So one kind of wonders, where does it fit into all of this? So that is not an adequate account of yoga, of course, and we've heard today a lot more of other heterodox schools, maybe. So the ones I'm interested in most are the Shaivas. So we have early precedents, the Pashupata Sutra, allegedly 2nd century. We have commentaries of Kaundinya, 4th to 5th century. And then evolves the Mantra Marga with its Shadanga Yoga and many other strange yogas, which are not Shadanga. So we have different schools, Siddhanta, Dakshinasrotas, Trika, Kaula, Kaula Trika, Krama, and so on. So the Kaula is also a slight problem. It has a fourfold yoga system, Pinda, Pada, Rupa, Rupa, Tita, which one can maybe relate to Patanjali if one wants. There's one sutra one could try and tie it into, but it is an independent yoga system. The Chadanga yoga was important. We have evidence. Simhasuri in the 6th century is already attacking it in the Nyayagamanusarini, a Jain author. The Buddhists develop Shadanga, the Jains also take over Shadanga, and various Shaiva, even Kaula Yoga is taken over by Hemachandra, the Pinda Pada Rupa Rupa Tita, though he interprets it differently, one must say. And there are many different Shaiva interpretations too, so one can't just say that like that. Then in the Vaishnava side, people claim the Vaikarnasa Sutra is very early, though I'm not so sure how one can really prove that. Then Pancharatras have Shadanga Yoga too. And then I think the Yoga Yajnavalkya might be put somewhere into that group rather than anywhere else. It's not explicitly a Vaishnava text, but it privileges Narayana more than other deities. In fact, Narayana is often the key figure involved. Fine. And this is maybe not so important, but for me this is important. Where does it compare to all of this? The relationship between Shaiva yogas. That's maybe enough of that. So coming to the text then, I'd like to read a passage which might help us understand where it fits in and why I think it fits in there. So just to confirm, I have until 1, is that right?
Yeah.
Ah, good. Okay, so this text, how do we do this? So do you have the text now, I hope?
Yes, it is refreshed. Yeah, it should be there now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe also you can read up there if it has to be. So this text has, this is the 12th chapter in the printed edition. The enumeration in the earlier text is a bit difficult because one colophon is missing. Chapters 1 and 2 are all together, the Gayatri Nirnaya, the discussion of the Gayatri mantra, the pranava mostly, a long mantra yoga section. So if we go back maybe to this, then page 17, just we could have a quick look. This is somewhere in the second chapter. I just wanted to bring this up quickly. We have here a naming, a listing of the seven Siddhantas that it accepts as valid schools. So Hiranyagarbhai Kapilair Apantara Tamais Tata Sanat Kumarair Brahmishtair Tata Pashupatair Api. So it's listing them, blah, blah, blah. By these people, Grihitah Pranava, it's not so important. The Pranava is accepted. And it will then in detail teach how they discuss and use the Pranava, all these schools. So who are these schools? The Hiranyagarbhas, the Kapilas, the Sankhyas. Apantara Tamas is Krishna Dvaipayana, so some sort of Vaidika school. An obscure name, very difficult to know who he really was. Sanat Kumara and Brahmishta should then be Prajapati, I guess. So some sort of Prajapati yoga must have been around. Tata Pashupatairapi and the Pashupatas. Pancharatraischa ityetaih siddhantaischaiva saptabihi. Yeah, this strange symbol here is just a reminder to myself that it is irregular sandhi. So irregular sandhi, so I remember. Because there are variants. There are usually variants in these places. People try and repair these, but I think they're usually in this text authentic. So also the Pancharatrikas, blah, 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 saptabihi. Then the last line says that each one of those has 9 subtypes, so we end up with 63 sub-schools, but it's really just very artificial. Anyway, this is not so important. This is just a listing of what they are, so we can remember their names. The Hiranyagarbhas, the Sankhyas, the Apantara Tamas school, the Sanat Kumara school, the Prajapati or Brahmishta school, the Pashupati school, and the Pancharatras, that's 7. So 7 schools of yoga are accepted here. Okay, how do we do the next page here? Oops. I have to go like that. Okay. Yeah, here it is. So then I wanted to read the Sarva Yoga Samuchaya section, the 12th chapter in the printed text. This is the kind of overview of, it's kind of a doxography, overview of all the schools that he has discussed in the body of the text. He usually gives very strange discussions of how they teach the pranava or something else, slightly differently from the others. So this, I think, gives us a clear idea of who they are, the authors of this, or the redactors, and who they're attacking. This is my going to be my important point today. So, na veda shastrad anyatu kimchit shastram hi vidyate. So other than the Veda shastra, there is no such thing as another shastra. So fairly fundamentalist point of view. Sarvam vinichsritam shastram veda shastrat sanatanat. So sarvam shastram, all shastras have come forth from it. It's kind of a mimamsaka fundamentalist point of view almost. The tradition argument. So the Buddhists can't argue against Vedic tradition because their very notion of right and wrong derives from Vedic tradition. That kind of argument is what they're pushing here. Durbodam tu bhavedyasmat adyetum naiva shakyate. But because it's very difficult to understand, it's not possible to study the Veda. Also interesting statement. Then we come to next line is, just bad Sanskrit, basically. Tasmadu trittya sarvani shastrani rishibih kritaha. So one would have expected kritani, maybe. Or it means something slightly different. If you look at the apparatus, you can see the editors of the printed text had manuscripts which read sarvam shastram kritam. Yeah, so tasmad utritya, so having extracted maybe from that Veda, all the shastras and kritani were produced by the rishis. Rishis wrote all these other texts, namely these 7. and maybe also others that we'll see, the Moha Shastras particularly. Then he lists the 14 Vidyasthanas, Purana Tarka Mimamsa, Dharma Shastranga Mishritaha, Vedastanani Vidyanam, Dharmasya Tu Chaturdashaha. So Stanani Dharmasya, the Dharmasthanas or the Vidyasthanas. The Dharmasya is a bit odd. Yeah, Vidyanam Stanani is actually enough. They're the 14 Puranas, Tarka, Mimamsa, Dharma Shastra, the 6 Vedangas, and the Veda. Is that right? 8 plus 6 should be 14. Yeah, 14.
Did you ask us to take Krita as a license for Kritani?
Maybe. I wasn't sure what to do.
What follows.
It could be, yes. And then just have no verb.
All the Shastras from the eternal.
Maybe that's better, yeah. Udhritya Shastrani Tasmad from the Veda. Yeah, these 14 were made. Yeah, that's maybe better. Yeah, that's the correct way, yeah. Yeah, thanks. That's the right way to take it. Now comes an important passage, beginning with Sankhyam Yogam, up to line 15, ending in Bhavaha. That's citation of Mahabharata, with one inserted line, namely Ati Pramanani.
Yeah.
But it's a common, well-known thing, too.
Yeah,
maybe I could just read through it quickly. Sankhyam Yogam Pancharatram Vedah Pashupatam Tata. Just a list. Sankhya Yoga Pancharatra Vedas Pashupata. What about these? Ati Pramana Nyetani Hetubirna Virodayet. These are beyond Pramana, beyond logic. One should not virod, obstruct, block them, contradict them with Hetu, with reason. One should not attack them, assail them with logic. Virodayit. Yeah, Divakar was able to read the manuscript just earlier today. So that is a little bit an earlier version. This is slightly improved. Yeah, I had the edition has Vichalayit, and I couldn't read the Rod, Roda. But now Divakar easily spotted it, with no problem. Sankhyasya Vakta Kapila. So Kapila is the author of the Sankhya. Paramarshih sa uchyate. He is a great sage. Hiranyagarbha yogasya vaktananyah puratanah. That's our line then. And Hiranyagarbha is the promulgator of yoga, not some other ancient guy. Pancharatrasya sarvasya vaktanarayana swayam. And Vishnu himself is the author, maybe speaker rather, of the entirety of the Pancharatra tradition. Yeah, I've gone with the earlier manuscripts, Pancharatra against Pancharatra, but I know people have strong opinions on this. And I'm just going with Pancha because earliest manuscript, and that's all. Nothing special there. Yeah. Unless there's a better reason to adopt the Pancharatra. I don't know.
It's the sort of thing we tend to have strong opinions.
Yeah, okay. So maybe it doesn't matter here. Apantra tamashchaiva vedacharyaksa uchyate. Anyway, the early manuscript, yeah, I'm adopting it even when it's not so good, I must say, when it has slightly klishta readings, even defective, very Aisha or Aishwara or Arsha, as it would call itself in this case, maybe, readings. I will accept them. So, Apantra Tamastu Krishna Dvaipayana is the Vedacharya. He's known as the Vedacharya, of course. Prachina Garbham Tamrishim Pravananti Halkechana. Some people call him this strange name, Prachina Garbha. Very odd ancient name for him. And we come to the Pashupatas. Umapatih Pashupatih Shrikanto Brahmanah Sutah Proktavan iti cha vyagram or avyagro, very common too. Jnanam Pashupatam Bhavaha. So Shiva Bhavaha taught the Pashupata system, Jnanam. And his other names are Umapatih Pashupatih Shrikanta and the son of Brahma. The Avyagra, he taught this Avyagram Jnanam we have in the early manuscript. This may be harmless, I don't know, unproblematic system. But Avyagro is maybe better. He who is Avyagra, unperturbed, he taught this knowledge.
Atyagro. He who is most terrible.
Yeah, Atyagro Bhava. Anyway, I'm going with the early edition, yeah. One could remove the cha, I feel, and go with iti and then hiatus sandhi, avyagram. since it doesn't really add much, and it looks like a metrical, I mean a Sandhi filler, a Sandhi hiatus filler. One could get rid of it maybe, but I'm not going to. And now this is where the Mahabharata passage ends. So this is what it has inherited from other traditions. And I feel now comes the really important bit always. So they borrow something and they want to legitimize themselves with inheriting this ancient tradition. This is what we've somehow defended. Well-known ancient teachers. Of course, they're well-known names, but nobody really knows what their yogas are anymore, I guess, in this period. So they're good kind of hooks for this text. That it can teach all kinds of strange practices, and it does, in their name. Now comes the interesting passage. It's going to add material. And this, I think, maybe reflects more reality on the ground. Who were they actually engaging with? Who were their enemies, maybe? So this is where it comes, I think. Atah urdvam tuye ke chid hetu shastranyane kashah bauda ka pali kuhaka lokayatana bindakaha. So beyond this, atah urdvam, there are some others. Then we have first a group of texts, hetu shastrani, logical texts, many of them. Then we have more people, rather, baudas, kapalis, kuhakas, cheats or frauds, maybe that qualifies both of those, bauda kuhakas and kapali kuhakas. Then lokayatana, as a name of a follower of the system, I think I've seen it, but the addition amended to lokayatika, but I think it's okay. Bindaka, seceders, or binnaka is maybe more common. But bindaka might be okay also. It could be qualifying lokayatanas, those who reject the Vedic tradition. It could qualify all of these, actually. I'm not sure. Then vedabahyas tatanyetu tamasa ashivas tute. So they are excluded from the Veda. They're vedabahya, others too, others like that. They're called tamasa, sinister groups. They're ashiva, inauspicious. Nairat myavada kuhakair mityadrishtanta he tubih vedashastrasya vadante paurusheyas tute smritaha. So by using nairat myavada kuhakas, tricks involving nairat myavada, the doctrine of selflessness, and mityadrishtanta hetus, with logical reasons, hetus, which involve false or fake drishtantas, similes, maybe here, or examples. Then maybe take this as an objective genitive in the early text. Badante Veda Shastrasya. They're attacking maybe or damaging the Veda Shastra. These texts or these groups are Paurusheya, humanly authored. They're considered to be humanly authored, Paurusheya. Asureyas tatanyas tu brihaspati kritas tu ye. Now there's another group here, I think. This is specifically what is later on called Moha Shastras, that Brihaspati composed specifically teachings to delude the demons and help the gods in their struggle against the demons. So there are also a group of teachings which are not just deceitful or idiotic or whatever, but deliberately written to delude people. Where are we? Shukrarupam samastaya. Did I read that? Asureyas tatanyas tu. Yeah, so Brihaspati created these other demonic teachings. Shukrarupam samastaya, having taken on the form of Shukra. Devanam hitakamyaya, with the intention of helping the gods, aiding the gods. Benefiting the gods.
Does everyone in this room know what Shukra is referring to?
The teacher.
Teacher of the
demons.
Demons.
So he assumes the form of being their teacher and then gives them false teachings. It's a very well known thing. It was quite cool. Then Prajapati Kritashchanye Asuran Mohanayacha. And Anye, others, not sure what they mean here, created by Prajapati. Asuran Mohanaya, slightly unusual accusative maybe, to delude the demons. Yenedam vangmayam dugdam adarme vipalikritam Vangmayam, it should be, yeah. I have it corrected. There was maybe a few typos. There were a few typos. Vangnayam, I think, yeah. Sorry about that. So he by whom, or the teaching by whom? No, he by whom this Vangmaya, the body of speech, literature itself, was milked, and it was vipalikrita, turned into something worthless in the service of adharma, maybe. Vishaya saptami. Atmanam. Okay, now come the slightly amusing excerpts from the teachings. What is it that he actually taught them? Atmanam bhushaye nityam. One should always adorn oneself. Bhojana chadana adibih. Maybe adorn or please oneself with clothing and with food. Yeah, it's a little bit odd usage. Bhushayet bhojanena would be strange. One should adorn oneself. Yeah, with food. It's clear what he means, though. I think he means you should just eat whatever you want and wear whatever you want, fancy clothing. Swadeham chaiva daivatyam anyat chaiva na vidyate. One's own body is the deity, is God. There is nothing else. Asatyam apratishtam cha jagadahuranishvaram ayam lokosti naparah punah sambhavanam kutah. Yeah, he's mangling a verse of the Bhagavad Gita here. So the world is asatyam, false, apratishtam, baseless, anishvaram, not controlled by anything. Only this world exists. Not the world after. There is no afterlife. Punah sambhavanam, rebirth. How could it take place? From where could there be rebirth? Parna budbuddha vachayam sambhavascha punah. Maybe not so nice. So we have jala budbuddha vachayam. This birth is like the drop of water. It's again the Bhagavad Gita image, the drop of water on the lotus petal or lotus leaf, which is very unsteady.
Could I suggest that bushet is an error for toshayet?
Toshayet, maybe that's better. Yeah, thanks, that's a good idea. Toshayet is better, yeah.
Delight himself with food, clothing, and anything
yeah.
else good.
Please himself with food, that's nice, yeah. So ayam sambhavah, punah doesn't sound good because he's just said there is no rebirth. So punah is not so nice for me. The next line, I'm not so sure what it means. Svechaya utpadyate chaiva, svechaya chapraliyate. Out of one's own free will, someone is born and disappears. This is not so clear to me why that should be a good argument for anyone. It must be referring to some Upanishadic or earlier teaching, I feel, or twisting it somehow.
Does he mean that creatures in general are constantly reborn and die? I mean, not that individuals that can go through rebirth,
mm-hmm.
that things are constantly coming into existence and passing out without any logic. The punah punah refers to.
Maybe.
Vichaya standing for arbitrarily or
or he's contradicting himself. First he says punah sambhavanam is not existent.
Bubbles, yes. Leaves?
Leaves?
Bubbles constantly pop up at random.
Maybe. Yeah.
A bit odd, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit odd. It's in the early manuscript, so it's very strange. Maybe jala is better. Yeah. And what else? Jati pradanya kam nasti. There is no preeminence of caste. Eka jati samudbhavam or samudbhavah might be better.
Maybe here pradhanyakam means pradhanim in the sense that there is no system in which one caste is pradhana and the others are
So there's no hierarchy of castes. Everyone is born in the same caste. Ekajati samudbhavaha or samudbhavam. Maybe it's okay here. Na vedo naiva yajnyascha. There's no Veda, there's no sacrifice. Nadanani tapamsicha. There's no charity, there's no penance. Now comes the line which made me realize this is probably targeting a special group. Nakaryam naiva nakaryam sarvam kuryad ashankaya. Yeah, I think he has a target audience in mind. So there is nothing to be done, nothing to be not done. One should do everything without inhibition. Etad asurakam bhavam. So this is a demonic state of being, attitude maybe. Samashritya vinashyati. And resorting to it, one perishes.
Can you translate bhava as attitude or mentality?
Mentality, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Mentality.
Okay, maybe we could stop there. And then I have a note to to fill in something. I had some notes to this if you want to read them. So yeah, here was the Mahabharata passage if you wanted to see that. So there is here one line which is different. Jnanani etani rajashe viddi nana matani vai. That is slightly different. And we had this Atipramanani line added. The Atipramana, I couldn't find exactly that wording, but there are several ones which are very similar.
I think the version of Atipramanani is cited in Aparaditya's commentary.
Aha, okay.
On
the Yagyavatya Smriti itself, yeah.
The Dharma Pramanani.
Yeah, okay, good.
I
didn't check the Kashmirian Mahabharata, but I should have. It probably is there because this text, for bizarre reasons, agrees with the Kashmirian Mahabharata. There are many verses it quotes. And for some unknown reason, it is usually very close to the Kashmirian. No idea why yet, but maybe eventually. So, maybe where was the next one? Yeah, here. Nakaryam, naiva nakaryam. So what I was reminded of immediately, of course, is kind of a fairly well-known Kaula rejectionist passage, of which there are several versions. The most famous one is in the Malini Vijaya, which I'd worked on, chapter 18. It is famous because Abhinavagupta has written enormously on it and makes it a very important passage. So we could read maybe the beginning little bits of it. Natra shuddhir na cha shuddhir. Here in this system or in this practice, this way of practicing, maybe we should say, there is no purity and no impurity. Nabakshyadi vicharanam, no deliberation of things to be eaten, etc. Nadvaitam napi cha dvaitam, there is no duality and no non-duality. Linga pujadikam nacha, there is no worship of icons, etc. Nachapi tat parityago, no is there in the abandoning of that, those or that. Nishparigrahata piva, no is there possessionlessness or accepting nothing. Saparigrahata vapi, nor is there accepting anything or being wealthy, whatever. Jata basma di sangraha, or the accoutrements such as the jata, basma, etc. So the lingas. Tatyago, nor is there the abandoning of those. Ratadinam, etc. So I shouldn't read the whole thing. It just goes on.
Is it opposite?
I feel it is. I feel it is similar.
No, it isn't.
You don't think it is?
No. I think the point of that passage is entirely different.
Uh-huh.
And that the passage we're reading from the Yoga Yagyavalkya
uh-huh.
is addressing charvakas.
Yeah, I think it's clearly charvakas. It is definitely not kaulas.
In the context of nothing, no duty, nothing that has to be avoided.
Yeah.
It's completely different than that.
But I think the reason why he's doing this is, I don't think there are charvakas around, and he wants to make it sound ancient, so he's attacking people who are practicing this.
You don't think there were materialists around?
I don't know if there were so many.
There was
Udbhata in Kashmir in the 8th century.
But they're attacked constantly.
Yeah, it's true. But I was clearly reminded. I thought there was somehow an echo here. If it was a Charvaka attack, I would have expected to find parallels to it somewhere.
No life to
in
come,
those lines.
Just please yourself.
That sure, yeah, but Nakaryam and the Ashanka, Nishankachara.
It means the Vedic rules as to what is to be done and not to be done simply are without basis, so please yourself, and don't worry about it.
Well, that makes it bad for me because then I can't date it. Then I can't really...
This world.
That means I don't have anything to date it yet.
What?
I was hoping it would give me something to date. That there would be a kaula, that its other would be the kaulas.
There are attacks on kaulas in similar passages in other texts, and then they clearly point to them.
Yeah, but I don't think it could do that, because it wants to... It's trying to be ancient. That's why it cannot, it doesn't mention Patanjali, though it's clearly after Patanjali. It's trying to efface its antiquity, I mean its modernity rather. So I thought this was a clear case for me.
Yeah,
you don't
maybe,
think so?
Yeah.
Okay, well I'll try and find something else to date it.
I have analysed this passage in considerable detail.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
What I think is the point of it. Study of the opening verses of the Tantrasara. Do with materialism or skepticism.
You don't think nakaryam, nacha nakaryam, and ashanka.
No, if you attack the authority of scripture in general, deny the existence of an afterlife, what he's doing is portraying the typical nastika, who says there's nothing that is to be done, nothing that is to be avoided. It's up to you. Follow your own instinct. Don't worry. These restrictions imposed by scripture are chimerical. They have no foundation in reality. More skeptical outlook.
Okay, so maybe you do, yeah, maybe there's no kaulas here. Sadly.
Says, don't drink wine. On
yeah.
That real authority.
Yeah, anyway, that was my first attempt to try and date this text, and it's obviously failed. I'll try again. Better. So yeah, this is a begin. We've begun this project very recently, and yeah. It does seem to me so far to be an attempt to make yoga Vedic. It's very much Vaidika materials,
mm-hmm.
Vaidika concepts and ideas, and much of it goes to Mahabharata. Bhagavad Gita is quoted a few times. Not quoted, just incorporated.
Why do you think it definitely postdates Patanjali?
Well, there's no proof of that. Yeah, one could say this is the early one. It is entirely possible that it could be extremely ancient. I was just a bit skeptical reading it, the quality of the text. It could be. Could be, though. Yeah.
There's no tantric material in it?
No.
No.
No. Yeah.
You haven't found quotations of it in other texts?
Yeah, Vachaspati Mishra is maybe the earliest so far, and I would have expected it somewhere else earlier. I would have expected somebody, since it is such a thing that they would have liked, a Vaidika justification of yoga.
Are there some quotes in the commentaries on the other Vyasavakya?
Yeah.
There is one, yeah.
Yes,
there's Divakata. Yeah. A little bit earlier, yeah. So yeah, and yeah, that's another problem. Citations are a big problem. It is quoted nearly everywhere from in the 15th, 16th century. So there are thousands of Dharma Nibandhas which quote it. And compiling that is a bit of a problem. It's going to take a long time.
But Vishwarupa would be very early citation.
Yeah.
Earlier than
he would be earlier than Vachaspati, yeah.
I can't see on your line 33, you seem to have Nartavya in this version. Both in the
I can't remember.
Nakalium, neither Charkalium.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah. But both L and the
Nakalium
are both
recorded
as having
Narkalium. There's nothing to be done, nothing, just not to be done.
Yeah, double, triple negative. Neither Narkalium.
But I think one of those.
It should be
Cha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not sure of all, yeah.
You suggest there might be a problem with the reference to there not being rebirth and then rebirth.
Yeah.
Isn't it just listing lots of different opinions?
Maybe it could
rather
be,
than
yes.
One coherent doctrine.
Did you at any point mention there were some overlaps between that Vyasavakya and the Aradhyaya Vyasavakya or was there not?
No. I didn't find any yet. I haven't gone through the whole text, though. There could be.
I think the claim of Vishwarupa, no? I think Vishwarupa comments when there is this I am to paramo dharma yad yogi nātmanakṣana, that is the Yajimaya Smriti, and actually maybe this is the first few says that using yoga in the sense of maybe some kind of system. And then maybe in another place, either on, under this part or in maybe there is similar another verse also, so not quite sure, just working from memory. So Vishwarupa says that Yajivalka deals with this thing in detail in your Yajivalka. So he thinks that they are the same, so at least traditionally.
But those Smritis don't share.
Oh, you mean the old Yajivalka Smriti? Yeah, there are a few verses in this. Yeah. There are
borrowing is most likely from
The Yajnavalkya Smriti, where it fits better.
Maybe the other way around is not found. Or you mean it, the same verses?
No.
I wonder if the how this text was composed, or the environment. Well, I don't know about this.
Maybe it is difficult to find a date, but you can have a chronology. And definitely there are certain things which post-dated.
explained it and I missed it, but how do you take Svadeham Chaiva Daivatyam, Anya Chaiva Navidyate? One's body is the only deity, I please yourself. There isn't anything else. How do you take the anything else to mean?
Yeah. I don't know.
I take it to be straightforward materialism. All you
there
are
exists
the
nothing
five
else.
Elements.
Mm-hmm, could be.
There's nothing else. There's no soul.
There's no self other than the body. Yeah, could be.
That's it. So enjoy it while you have it. While you are it,
yeah.
I should say, rather than have it.
Seth?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify. Did you say that the early yogi, Yajnavalkya Smriti, has no relation to the later, like 1300 one?
Yeah, there I couldn't find any yet, but I haven't read the whole text, so I must be a bit careful. I don't know for sure.
Because it seems like it's also a similar project, right? Trying to take the techniques, the theory of yoga,
yeah.
Yeah. But in a different time period.
Well, it seems quite clear that when this was written, Hatha Yoga did not exist as an important factor yet.
Mm.
So that is completely missing.
Mm.
So there's no teaching on asana?
No. It's much more archaic. I don't know, you could fake that, but I don't know if you'd want to. Why would you want to?
What about the subtle body, the yogic body?
It's really all about mantras. It's really all about Vedic ritual and mantras. Very little else. Overwhelmingly, it's about Gayatri. There are meditations and dharanas and pratyaharas and stuff like that, but that's only small, very minor component. It seems largely to be a kind of a Vedic mantra yoga manual.
But it looks to me just two tubes that are named, Idan Sushumna, which is enlightenment and shwasa.
So very ancient, you think?
Well, I mean, like this
could
very
be.
Odd thing in the shwasa, with just two tubes.
Yeah.
There's
no central one, yeah.
Idan
Sushumna.
Those are the two that
yeah.
are there, not single.
Yeah. Could
exactly
be.
The same two.
Yeah, it would be nice if it's early, but yeah, difficult to prove. I would have expected citations somewhere of it early on.
Yeah.
And haven't found any. Yeah, there are lots of citations, but they tend to be in Dharmashastra works. So the people who were reading it were interested more in Dharmashastra, it seems. Maybe the name, Yajnavalkya.
In the Dattatreya Yoga Shastra, didn't it say, in the teachings of Hatha Yoga, that there's two schools and one of them goes back to Yajnavalkya?
Yes.
So I was always wondering, like, what are they referring to there? Is it a text attributed to Yajnavalkya?
It's sort of the more physical Hatha practices seem to be associated with Kapila, and then the more sort of Vedic approaches of Yajnavalkya.
But that doesn't mean that Dattatreya program is knowing this text,
no.
Because he can be just alluding to this Yadiyoginatmadarsana, this kind
sure.
of passage
yes.
in Ajima and this way.
Yeah.
It
just seems to be pretty well known, yeah.
Here the Sankhya Paspata Pantarabha I mentioned, but not Vaikanasa. Rather related with Vaikanasa.
Yeah, there are some. Yeah, when I first started working on it and tried to find similar ideas, it is true that the modern Vaikanasas at least do similar things, with the Gayatri Shiras particularly. The Gayatri Shiras is an important practice in this text. And I was trying to find parallels. But that doesn't prove very much.
Also, the Shaiva is not mentioned here.
Pashupata only.
Yeah. Veda Bhakti, in this case.
No, but Pashupata is mentioned.
Pashupata is positively mentioned.
But it's because it's basing itself on this Mahabharata verse.
But indeed, the fact that it only has two tubes rather suggests that it's rather early or pre month to month.
In one of the manuscripts that was used, but I don't know why. Well, the thing is, it's Vachaspati calls it Yogi Yajnavalkya, not Yoga. So maybe already then. But the colophons of this manuscript from 1024 call it Yoga Yajnavalkya, which I think is probably the original name.